Classic League Podcast time!
Hello everyone, and welcome to episode 312 of the Classic League Podcast. My mouse-happy, clicky co-host is Kevin. What's going on, Kevin?
Oh, that's what that was for. Hello.
Yeah, I'm like, stop clicking. How you doing, man?
I didn't know you can hear that. I'm good. How are you?
Good.
Wow, you can hear that? These mics are really good. I wonder if we can buy them somewhere.
If you would like a mic of this quality, please check out our Amazon affiliate links in the description to support
Absolutely.
The show. But seriously, we do really have those links, so on the real, like, click on them and go there if you do want these mics. That would be sweet. But what's up, man? How you doing?
I'm good and not doing much. Getting through the week, waiting for whatever happens on the weekend, because I always have something to do on the weekend. I also realize I do mumble a lot, so I will try to pronunciate my words better.
Or enunciate.
Why would I?
You said there a difference? Pronunciate? Is there?
That's not a word?
I don't know. I don't know.
All right, then. You could have just left it at that. Everyone could have thought it was okay, but now everyone's questioning me. Thanks.
But we also have an awesome episode title to pronunciate. I hate picking titles out of the intro.
Yeah.
It feels lazy. Like it's not getting any better from here. Our best joke
that's
in the first
it.
Minute.
That's it.
So,
speaking of episode, what episode is this?
This is 312. I think I said that. I hope I didn't.
Forget. I don't know. Mm-hmm.
But
that starts.
Last week, Kevin, I was feeling sick, and I got crushed in bed all weekend.
You actually got knocked down?
Yeah, but
nice.
Found a wonderful game to kill time, and on Monday, went to work, had a meeting, felt bad, went home, and in the afternoon, got home and was kind of in that weird... You haven't been sleeping well, sick, kind of fever dreamish or whatever.
Yeah.
And I watched the first Blade Runner and the second Blade Runner just back to back like they were episodes of a TV show.
Yep.
I've changed my opinion on the first Blade Runner. I really like it way more than when I watched it a year or two ago. I'm not sure I would recommend doing that. It kind of sat in my stomach the next 2 days. It was, like, really heavy. Like, man.
Why? I've never watched Blade Runner.
Yeah, like, do Androids Dream. It was,
Oh, it's kind of deep like that, like Detroit.
Yeah, yeah.
Human, whatever it's called.
What was that part?
That game, Detroit?
Yeah.
Become human? Same
yes.
idea. Like, do androids, can they break the barrier where they become real? Is that what Blade Runner is about? That seems to be a common theme, like iRobot and
yeah, I don't
AI.
Want to say much more. I mean, yeah, it's definitely in that ballpark. It's cyberpunk, okay. And it's in that area. I don't want to get too much into it, only because part of the fun of Blade Runner is it is pretty vague. So watching it several times or listening to people talk about it helps you pick up stuff. You're kind of rewarded for subsequent listens or watches the way you are with certain music. But yeah, just they're really good movies. I still really like the second one clearly more than the first one. You never watched either of them?
No, neither of them. I never liked the sci-fi.
Okay.
Genre.
It's more grounded than like Star Trek or Star Wars or something. It feels like actual. That could have been how Earth went. It's like the 80s future. You might like the aesthetics of it. I don't know if you like the movies or not.
But I'm sure I'd enjoy it. I'm not against it. I mean, I love Back to the Future. It's one of my favorite movies, and that's completely sci-fi and ridiculous. So
yeah, the second one just
So when you say second one, do you mean the one with that came out recently? Or
yeah,
is that
Ryan Gosling. Sorry, Blade Runner 2049, the Denis Villeneuve. Sorry for we will get to video games here soon. The director of Blade Runner, I'm going to see. Have you seen any of his other movies? Have you seen Arrival by chance or?
That's the spaceship one, right?
Yeah, with Amy Adams and
I saw the trailer for it. They communicate with like notes or lights or something.
That movie stuck with me too. Like,
really? Okay.
Yeah, that is one of my favorite films. I adore Arrival, but I really like this director, and he is later this year, I think it's releasing, Dune. And there was like a, it's a Stephen King book that a lot of people love. And then it was like, it's, some people say it's his best. That's, but then it had a movie with the guy that plays the, I think he's in Twin Peaks and he plays the mayor in Portlandia. He starred in a movie in the early 80s, and I guess it's not that great of a movie. I always wanted to read the book, and I wanted to read the movie to get ready to... I'm watching everything Denis Villeneuve ever puts out from here on out. And so I can't wait to watch this Dune movie, and now I'm starting to think, you know what? I don't want to know anything about it. I haven't read the book, and I haven't seen the other movie. Why don't I start with this guy and then go back and read the book and see what the differences are? I was trying to get ready for this movie, and now I'm like, no, why don't I just leave it for... this.
Watch it the way it is. The book's always better. So watch the movie without being influenced by the book.
I think that's
because that's why that's why I did with Ready Player One. I read the book like 7 times before I watched the movie, and I watched the movie and I didn't like it. And if I watched the movie without reading the book, I'm sure I would have loved it because of all the references. But there's so many things that were missing from the movie compared to the book.
Yeah, you wouldn't have hated it. I think you'd have been like, it's a little cheap, but whatever.
Yeah.
It's kind of a dumb story. You think you would have gotten into the...
In the book, the story is more entertaining.
Yeah, the character motivations make more sense. You know, you had a crush on her too. We're in the movie, they're just like, hey, attractive guy, attractive girl. You guys boyfriend, girlfriend now, right? Okay, yeah. It's like, what? No, and the whole point was...
And the whole twist with H, his friend.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the twist is H is a woman, a black woman. In the book, you don't find that out till almost the end of the book. In the movie, she's on the poster.
Yeah.
So it's like, kind of fucked up there.
Yeah.
It's not even the references. Like, I know you can't get the DeLorean with a Ghostbuster sticker on it. I get that. But it was everything else around the movie. Like, the references in the movie I thought were fine. Like, you did what you could, and I completely get that. It was just a storyline. There's so many parts missing. The 101 when he's talking to his AI buddy when he's, like, training or whatever.
I don't think the story is good, or I don't think the story is bad just because of what's missing. I think that if you didn't have any sort of a bias, I still don't think you would have liked the movie.
I think I would have liked the references more than the movie.
I think you would have enjoyed the movie, but you would have been like, they mentioned cool stuff. But yeah, Denis Villeneuve. Sorry, I'm super excited to see Dune. He's a master. So please watch Blade Runner 2049 if you have not. I would highly recommend it. And Arrival. It's also very good. Unless you are not wanting to be in a somber mood the next day. Like, I did not expect that, man. I was really kind of like, maybe I was also wiped out from being sick or whatever, but I was in a funk.
Were you like, like that?
Like anxious, like you got bad news that you can't control.
Oh, okay. So every day,
or you watch something happen that made you feel guilty. Like if you see a kid fall and cry, or if you see someone like bully somebody and you like have like empathy pains for them.
Yeah.
Like it kind of stuck with me that way. Like, fuck, man. What a good guy. You know what I mean? Like,
that's how I feel when I watch Jumanji and he turns into a little monkey. I'm like, ah, oh, poor kid.
Yeah.
Got a great tail and everything.
So, yeah.
You also like Day Sex. Day Sex? No. What's that movie with the robot face girl woman? She's like a robot.
Ghost in a Shell?
No. It's a Netflix. It's a movie on Netflix that I think I started talking about. Ex Machina. That's the one.
What a movie.
Yeah. I've been meaning to check that out because of you as well, but I'm too lazy to watch movies. I watch one show every day during my lunch at work, and I'm watching Narcos right now, which I just finished. Next is Castlevania, which we'll get into.
Oh, yeah. That's today.
Season 3 is out today.
Oh, yes. Okay, cool. Maybe I'm calling in sick tomorrow. So, cool. Well, as far as like video games are concerned, I don't know that any... This is a big month. There's a lot to look forward to in March. I don't think my favorite one's here yet. But as far as like last week, I wasn't seeing a bunch. There was a game called Blood Roots that has a really good Metacritic score.
Yeah, it's going for 75.
I've never heard of it. That's cool.
Nearby. Oh, that's 81. Again, I guess it keeps going higher and higher. Yeah, there's nothing really that stuck out, for game releases, for this week.
Last week. Like Ori's out this month. There's some others that are upcoming this month that are huge. Like Doom. I think Doom Eternal's out this month.
That's right. It is. Yeah.
And I feel like there's one or two other big ones.
I just bought 3 Doom games for under $10 on the Switch. They had like a sale last week.
Yeah.
So they had Doom 1, Doom 2, and Doom 3, which, again, I already own these games because I have the Doom 3 BFG edition, which came with all of them. And I bought it again on a PS4 when they first came out last year. And I bought it again on my phone. And I bought it again on the Switch. But it's so nice to, I don't know, it feels weird playing on the Switch, to be honest, when I played Doom. It's just the controls just kind of feel a little off.
I feel that way playing Doom anyway. It really does feel like you should be playing with the arrow keys on a keyboard.
Yeah, it's meant for that. It's so stiff or too fast. I don't know. But I'll jump into that once I have 20 other games. Fucking Crafted World, stupid Yoshi. God, I hate that game.
I'm glad. Those aren't still on sale, are they?
The Doom games? Yeah. They might be.
Oh, crap. Because I forgot. I saw they were on sale. I'm trying to not buy them.
Oh, I do that every week. I'm like, oh, I don't need to buy this game. I already own. Like, Rocket League's on sale for the Switch for $10. And I'm like, why am I going to buy it? So I can play downstairs when I can
get a Mario hat. You get a Mario hat.
Really? But I lose my DeLorean and my Ghostbuster vehicle, my Ecto-1.
That's the thing, is you can't put
transfer.
That's bullshit that you can't. You know what? I'm fine. If I need to re-microtransaction in games, that's okay. I'm not opposed to that. What really does piss me off about the cosmetics in Rocket League is I can't put something stupid on the DeLorean.
Yeah, you can only change the color.
Wheels, like, or the Hot Wheels. No, I think in the Hot Wheels you can.
I can't have the DeLorean shoot out the plasma from the Ecto-1.
That has to be great, right?
That would be awesome. That'd be my Ready Player One car.
I'm sure that there's licensing reasons that they're not allowed.
Yeah, but fuck it. Who cares?
Have some fun, companies. You know, it's not going to hurt anything to play in the same sandbox together. You know,
yeah. Like, I want the Batman Batmobile
against the Spider-Mobile.
Yeah.
Who cares? Let me put Batman wings with a Spider-Man face. Who cares?
Done. Yeah. Who gives a shit? Fucking companies always holding everything back.
But you know, I do also get it in principle. I just want to have my fun and
I don't, because you licensed the vehicle, so who cares? It's like Gran Turismo. When they first came out with their games, you couldn't destruct the cars because of licensing.
Yeah.
So what are you doing? What is this? I hit the wall and I'm fine? Bullshit.
That's where I do think that it's a little silly that you have the stipulations like that. Like, you should be able to.
Because then that's false advertising.
Have some fun.
Why bother? Just get the fuck out of here.
So, but yeah, this month coming up is going to have some really sweet stuff. There's a really poorly rated Narcos Rise of the Cartels game on Switch.
I should check that out.
I wouldn't. Well, I don't think you'll be tempted.
Well, it was like $5. I'll check it out. I just bought 2 more games on the Switch called Saboteur.
Okay. I'm not familiar.
It's a ZX Spectrum game.
Okay.
And Saboteur
Canadians
1.
Said ZX. Don't.
What the fuck are you saying?
I said the Canadian said ZX. Don't, or maybe I thought it was most Canadians. They'll say Zed for Z.
Oh, did I say Z?
You said Z, yeah. And I've always heard it as ZX Spectrum. So I said the Canadians.
I don't know. Now I'm questioning myself again. Sorry. I don't know what I say, okay? I don't have a flow or morals. I just go with it. So anyways, this game is for the Spectrum ZX and there's Saboteur 1 and that was $0.07. And then there was Saboteur 2, Saboteur Harder. That's not what it's called. It has like a subtitle, but
okay.
That was also $0.07. And I was like, should I get these 2 games I've never heard of for a system I've never played for less than a coffee? Let me think about, and as I was thinking, I already purchased it. And so I bought it. I haven't played it yet. I probably won't.
Okay.
But it's $0.07, so.
Why not?
Right? I'll talk about it next week if I ever get around to it, because I have to finish stupid Yoshi.
I hope it's low-key kind of fun.
It looked stupid. It looked terrible from the videos I saw. It was like really bad graphics and exactly what you expect on a Spectrum ZZX. And it was, I don't know. It looked like Metal Gear 1 for MSX.
Oh, okay.
But it was side view, so it was like a ninja stealth game. I don't know. I tried to Google it, and that Saboteur game, the French one, where you like fight Nazis and everything goes to color, that kept popping up. You remember that, the Saboteur for 360?
No. Did it start in black and white? Did it do like the Wizard of Oz thing?
Yeah, yeah. So games for a while did this weird thing where games would be black and white, and if you like save the land, it turns into color. Prince of Persia did this. Flower does this, and this game Saboteur did this. Okay. So you'd be driving through Nazi Germany as like an Irish race car driver, because why the fuck not? And it was during a time where season passes was trying to be a thing, where if you bought a game used, it didn't have that code. Do you remember that? Pass?
Yeah. Well, it wasn't season pass, but it was, I know what you're talking about. There was.
So they hid stuff behind a code if you bought it used. So all my strippers had nipple tassels, where if you bought it new, they would have nipples. So I was like, oh, fuck me, right? But it was one of those games when I first bought it, I was like, this is garbage. Like, it was a garbage game. But cool premise. You know, you bring color back to the world after fighting Nazis as a race car driver. Anyways, so every time you Google the Saboteur, this is what I kept getting up. Not the Zero or ZX Spectrum game. What are we talking about? What am I talking about? Don't let me go off on a tangent like that.
I'm sorry. I will no more language talk with you. I'm just curious to learn about other cultures. So,
like this ZX Spectrum?
Yeah. Well, Z versus Z, because I've heard Canadians use it both ways.
Oh, I don't know. I call Lord Z from Power Rangers, because Lord Z sounds kind of lame.
Oh, is that how it's spelled?
Isn't it? I thought it was just a big Z on his.
I have no idea. I'm aware of it, but like, I was never a big Power Rangers fan.
You didn't see Lord Zedd when he takes over and kicks Rita back into the moon? And then they get married eventually? Come on, man. Where's your head at?
I was trying to find a date to the homecoming dance.
I was probably just learning about
fourth grade.
Probably.
Yeah, so.
And I thought I was a Power Ranger.
My cousins and I would play a Power Ranger game, though, which was really mean. For some reason, my younger cousins would let my older cousin and I just try to sweep the legs out of people. Like, we were the Power Rangers and they were the little gray guys. And all
like
we would
random
was,
people?
Yeah, we would, no, like, it was my cousin Sarah and I and our younger siblings would try to tackle us, and the rules were we had to like sweep their legs out from under them, and we just kicked them at their legs. And if they fell over, they fell over. We played it a lot.
Yeah, kids are assholes.
Yeah, kids are stupid. They
allowed it.
Forcing anybody. They were like, maybe they were like, we can take them if we team up. I don't know.
Well, my group of friends, we had to make Power Rangers up because there's only five, and you know, I was very popular as a kid, so I was color guy. I was a rainbow Power Ranger.
Wait, how many? Yeah. Okay, are there five or there were six, and you needed, or were there four?
No, there's
why five did you Power have to Rangers? Have multiple colors?
Because
did you need six and there were only five of you?
My Asian friend was the Asian Power Ranger, my black friend was the black Power Ranger. They're set by default, which sucks. The cool guy was Jason.
Minded bastards.
Yeah. So I was like, either I was the color ranger that
pink, red, blue, green, and white.
They're all taken. So I was either the color ranger that I made up, or I was Bulk from Bulk and Skull, the two bullies.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Or I was the guy who worked at the restaurant.
I'm sorry. I believed you when you said you were popular.
No, I was incredibly the opposite. I thought I was funny. Very painful.
So did you? Okay, now I gotta dig in a little deeper. Not to open. You can shut this off at any moment. Did they like have you wear a tie dye shirt? Would that have worked?
No. We just pretended like we were.
Oh, okay.
Like we'd go on a like South Park style. Where in our head we're like giant fucking anime characters, but in reality we're like fighting a tree.
Oh yeah, so. Yeah. Okay. We did that. We had this monkey bar fire engine. In the back of our grade school, and we used to do lava around that, and we would be, I would always be a Mega Man character, I remember.
Rui and I used to go down a big slide, and that was us playing Mario Kart in real life. I don't know.
That's a good idea. That's fun.
I don't know why or how. We just went down, and that was Mario Kart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was Double Dash out? Did you guys go down together?
No, this is way before Double Dash. This is before 64, even.
Okay. Well, when Double Dash was out, I could have still seen you two, like, 18 years old, like, high-fiving on the way down, like, woo!
Yeah. Oh, man. I don't miss being a kid.
So, yes, I think we all do. That's why, clearly, both of us do. We do a video game podcast just so we can talk about...
Video games aren't for kids. No. Nope. They're for everybody.
The excuse to talk about our memories from when we were kids, though.
Oh, yeah. No, I still live there. Like I said, I can't be nostalgic, because I can't. I buy and play everything that I did when I was a kid, so I never look at something and go, oh, I miss that.
Oh, yeah, I don't miss it, yes, because I have it, because I've said, oh, yeah, I wanted that, now I have it.
Yeah, there's no such thing as nostalgia, which is why, remember, I think I sent you guys an email last year about the NES Classic, and how if I show it to someone, they're like, oh, I remember playing that game, what's that game with the falling blocks, what is it called, Tetris? I'm like, it's on my phone, what do you mean, what is it called? I have 4 copies at home, I can play it anytime, anywhere. Like, I don't allow myself to be nostalgic. I'm playing FF8 Remastered. And I know it's supposed to be like, wow, look at these graphics. I'm like, who gives a shit? I just played this last year and I beat it.
Yeah.
And I'm playing it again now because I'm stupid.
No, because so. You know what you like.
Well, but it's only a graphical upgrade.
You are talking about 8. There are probably a lot of people out there that would have upheld your comment, right?
Yeah. Yeah, probably. So, I wish I was nostalgic for stuff. Fuck me. Why do I hate the modern times so much? I hate it so much. Everything sucks. Everything back then was so cool.
I know the answer, but I don't know if you want to hear the answer.
I do. Is it because I live under a rock now?
No, it's Twitter. If you could get off Twitter.
Wait, what does that have to do with anything?
It's why you hate the modern age, man.
Is it?
Yes, I guarantee it.
Oh. But how else am I going to tell Trump to go fuck himself?
That's or Ford? The problem. Yes, that's the give and the take. Like, if you want that access, you're going to have to hate the world.
That's fair.
So, all right. Well, we got some cool news on the digital storefront. We all complain about. Time to get into the news.
News.
But we always complain about digital versions of games getting pulled from stores, never to be seen again.
Yeah.
We did have a slight reversal of fortune here.
I was surprised by this.
I was too. DuckTales Remastered is back on digital storefronts.
Which is pretty rad, because I love that game.
I almost love that game.
You almost do? What didn't you like? The cutscenes?
Yeah. It was too... It's just because it wrecks the fluidity of the Amazon level. Like, yeah, Amazon that's level fair. Is absolutely trash because of that. And the tutorial takes way too damn long because
it does.
So that first level. You know, the first bit of that game is a slog, and that's insane. Because DuckTales should be, you hear music and you are instantly pogo sticking, you know?
Yeah.
They just paste the introduction stuff weird.
I was so desperate for this game that I bought on the iPhone because I wanted like a portable version of this game because there isn't one. There still isn't one, I guess, but I didn't think I'd ever be able to buy it again.
Sure.
So, and we all love the DuckTales game. I bought this in the afternoon for PS4 and the original game is really fucking hard. I have no idea what I'm doing in it. I'm stuck in like the castle level. But I beat the remastered one. So I don't know, maybe something's changed. Or maybe I know what I'm doing because I can actually see what I'm doing. I did wish that they had that HD 8-bit button where you press it. But they do that with the music, I think, right? Or am I making that up? Because they have
The orchestrated familiar. Version. It sounds familiar, actually.
Because they have the orchestrated version, like the high-def version.
I'm pretty sure you're correct there, man.
Yeah. And I know in like the art, you can see like the 8-bit version of the DuckTales game, but you can't just go forward HD and back. Like, I would love for that feature to be in that game.
But they didn't do a 1-to-1, so they would have to remake the remake in 8-bit style.
That's fair,
you couldn't flip back and forth. You'd have to – it would be great if it was in there, but for them to flip back and forth, they would have had to redone the remastered because they did change stuff.
Yeah, but it's beautiful, like beautifully animated, and the art is wonderful. And they even had the voice actor of Scrooge before he passed away, Alan Young.
Yeah, I was just about to ask you about that. I remember a lot of complaints about people. He sounds old. He sounds.
Yeah, he was 108.
I know.
Well, he wasn't that. Oh.
It wasn't until he was in his 90s. I thought he was like crazy old. Anyway, I didn't notice it at all until people brought it to my attention. And even then I thought that they were being like hypercritical. I was like, I think he sounds like Scrooge, man. I don't know.
People age. Like I love The Simpsons. This is my favorite show of all time, but I haven't watched it in 10 years, like new episodes. I only watch the Halloween ones. And when I watch it, when I hear Bart's voice, I'm like, Bart sounds different. Of course he sounds fucking different. They've been doing it for 30 years. I haven't watched the show in 10. I changed so much in 10 years too. My voice just keeps getting nasalier. So I get that, but it's still Scrooge, even if his voice is different.
Have I told you
about if you want to hear?
Oh, go ahead.
I was gonna say if you want to hear a bad Scrooge, play Kingdom Hearts 3, where he's like, "Yo, man, what's up? It's me, Scrooge." No, he doesn't have a Jamaican accent. It's a really bad
Scottish accent.
Very bad. This sounds nothing like him because he's passed. By the way, by the time Kingdom Hearts 3 came, you're about to say something about something.
Yeah, did I ever tell you about my little Simpsons tie?
No.
From college.
Tie that you wear?
The Nancy Cartwright, the voice of Bart.
Yeah. She'll explain that to me.
She went to the audience as well.
Fair.
She went to OU and lived in the exact dorm, or she lived on the same floor in the dorm room next to the one that I lived in.
Why you were there?
No, obviously not. But it was cool to have gone to the same dorm as her, and it was cool that someone... We had a couple of random famous people that went to OU because it's just OU. Like
what's OU? Something it's university.
Ohio University.
Ohio, right.
But I was like, oh, cool. Bart Simpson lived in my dorm. That's awesome.
That is pretty cool. And yeah.
I was in a little mini hallway that connected two big ones, so it was also cool. It was fun to be in the little hallway.
You're like, this is where Bart walked, man.
And she would come and she speaks at graduations a lot. We didn't get her, unfortunately, but she comes back to campus a good bit and speaks and all that. So that's fun. But yeah, so I've always had a fondness for her in particular because she lived in Washington Hall, good old Washington. But yeah, DuckTales Remastered is nice, just in principle for games to come back. I think. Is there one that comes to mind, I guess, that you would like to come back? I guess it's just PT and Scott Pilgrim, right? But are there others?
Simpsons Arcade, X-Men Arcade, TMNT Arcade.
Okay. Out of those.
But the weird thing is, sorry, reading the article, this isn't coming to PS4, though.
Oh, it's just back on PS3, 360,
PS3, Xbox 360.
And even the Wii. It's even back on the Wii U.
Yeah. So it's not on PS4 like I thought it was.
I
should have read the article. Yeah,
you put the show notes together. But it's just back on the store.
It's just back on the store. Yeah.
Just where it was. That's even weirder.
Right? So I don't know if this has something to do with the show being back. When the next season of DuckTales is going to have Darkwing Duck and Chip and Dale on there.
Darkwing Duck's going to have Chip and Dale? Is that what you said?
No, there's a new DuckTales show.
Yeah.
Like a new cartoon. And then next season, Darkwing Duck and Chip and Dale from Rescue Rangers are going to make an appearance on the show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Have you watched that new show?
No, I've heard it's shockingly like intense or adult for like it's too scary for kids or whatever.
Dude, they put the moon theme level in the show.
I've seen that. I saw
beautiful. I almost cried when I saw
it. Because they released a teaser about that before the show came out.
Oh, okay.
So I saw the moon theme, like whatever they put on YouTube or Twitter or whatever.
One of my fans from the old podcast reached out to me and told me, did you watch this? I said, no. And I saw it. I was like, oh, that's my theme song.
It is.
Like they like foreshadow. They'll show like the moon because something happens in the show where it takes place on the moon. But before it even gets that far, the camera like pans up to the moon and then you hear like, and it just stops. Right. And I'm like, okay, that's pretty cool. And then the second one with, I guess their mom is there and she's singing a lullaby to like a space alien and she gives lyrics to the moon theme.
Oh,
it's beautiful. That's I almost cried. Yeah. She sings lyrics like made up for the show with the music from the game, which is the first time I've ever seen that happen.
The look on my face was, I don't remember if that teaser had any lyrics or not, but it sounds familiar like they did.
Yeah, it was like a lullaby. She's like trying to calm down an alien. She's like, I used to sing this to my kids. And she's like, well, I'm not going to sing it because I don't know the words, but she sings the song.
My memory is, I cannot trust it. But that's cool. I'm glad to see it back. And this is from a site called ControllerCrusade.com. Not
yeah.
Cool looking site. This is really wild. You said that you found an article here from Video Games Chronicle that Dreams players are being employed by game studios.
That's
awesome.
Yeah, Media Molecule was one of the ones, not Peter Molyneux. Media Molecule was one of the people who hired them. And it's not the first time I heard. So I still don't know what Dreams are.
Oh, it was Media Molecule. I imagine that, someone from Insomniac was, playing Dreams and dude, this level's awesome. Who made this? Is that their Twitter handle? Oh, it is. Hey, yo, you want a job at Insomniac?
Well, I mean, from what I've heard, it's also other companies.
Oh, it is. Okay, good. As
well, yeah. From what I still don't know what Dreams is. I know it's like a video game maker, but the things I've seen that people make is unbelievable.
Yeah,
like I've seen Mario levels that I'm like, this could be a real Mario game. I've seen Sonic Extreme. Is it the Fish Islands one that was supposed to be for Saturn but got canceled? He was like the first 3D Sonic game. They had this stupid fisheye effect on it.
I don't think I'm aware of what you're talking about.
Oh yeah, it was a Sonic title called
video, but it's not coming to mind.
There's very rare footage of the game.
Okay,
play footage of Sonic Extreme because it was canceled, but it was like this weird dumbass Tony Hawk fisheye lens for the whole game. So when you jump. It's like a 3D game, but when you jump, he jumps towards the camera because it's fisheye lens, so it's kind of warped. And that was the whole game.
That doesn't sound.
It sounds terrible.
Fun.
But yeah, so someone made the game from the footage that they saw in Dreams. And I've seen Mario levels. I've seen unbelievable levels or things that people have made. And I'm like, I don't even know what it means. And I don't know why you would make this because there's no point to this. It's not I don't know. I still don't know what it is. And it scares me. I've seen people make bacon and eggs.
I thought this was a photo, but some of the objects can look photorealistic. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah,
I'm with you.
I want to get it just to play with it, but I know I'm not going to do shit with it. It's like when I play Little Big Planet. I'm like, oh great, I made a fucking platformer. Ooh, yeah, someone hire me.
I'm not into. I don't like making my fun in games. I play games because people have made a fun experience for me to participate in.
I like both. If the game is easy to make, I liked making Mario Maker levels and having you play them. That was fun.
That was amazing. I can get my mind around how Mario Maker works. I can't get my mind around how people are pulling this stuff off.
Yeah.
As soon as you start,
I've never seen game. I don't know what to call it. I've never seen gameplay. I've seen games. I've seen results of Dreams.
Yeah.
But I've never seen actual game. How do you make this? Do you use a controller? That sounds terrible.
Yeah.
To make a game with a controller.
We just need to go to YouTube and watch people, not reviewers, but go watch people that are in
making the game. Yeah. We'll do that tomorrow because I still don't know what it is. It still sounds like a dream.
So, that's cool. If you're able to show your talent and get found somewhere, that's amazing. Next up, I was not aware that Castlevania Symphony of the Night had not had a mobile release.
It never had one.
I don't know why it seems like it would, right?
Right? None of them. I don't think none of them are on iOS. I think they have their own Castlevania games for iOS.
Okay.
Actually, right. I don't think there is any Castlevania. I'm thinking of Ghouls and Ghouls. It's Konami, man. They don't know what they're doing.
I know, but hasn't Konami? I'm mixing up with Square. I'm sorry. Square
is mixing up with
way on stupidly expensive Final Fantasy crap.
$29.99.
Yeah, I was hoping get the fuck out of here. I was expecting maybe that, but a different company. So
I was thinking of Ghouls and Ghouls. So don't worry, we're all
getting us mixed up.
Yeah.
Now, as far as this game goes, I think getting ports in mobile is really cool now because Bluetooth controllers work so well with phones that we finally get that console experience.
I also don't mind playing with iPhone game or iPhone controls because I play a lot of iPhone games if done well.
Yeah,
like Ghouls and Ghosts, the Capcom versions, terrible. There's a separate button to jump and a button underneath to crouch. Why can't I just press down? Why you got to make me press the crouch button? It's stupid shit like that where I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
They keep the same. D-pad AB. Why is that so fucking hard?
Yeah.
Instead, you have an attack button. You have a jump button underneath. You have this button. No, what are you doing? Quit it. Like 1942. You know that space or the shooting game? The flying shooter in 1942?
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Like, that has touchscreen. You can, move the ship with your finger. Or a D-pad. Yeah, that's all you need.
Yeah.
Don't give me the old games used to have like a slider at the bottom.
Yes.
I mean, what are you doing? What are you doing with this? This is the stupidest thing ever. You're going to ruin your game. So dumb. So. But yeah, I from what I've seen, Castlevania Symphony of the Night, the control looks good from the screenshots. It's very, very reasonably priced of $299 American, $399 Canadian.
Yeah, and it says it's based on the PSP version and the PS4 versions of Symphony, which is a good thing, right?
Yeah. I want it. I want to buy it because I buy all these games for iPhone, but I never play them.
It doesn't have the What Is a Man line, though.
I assumed it didn't. But the thing is, I can play this game on my Vita or my PSP anytime. I don't like buying games ported versions if I can play it a better way.
Sure.
Does that make sense?
It does.
Like, I bought Transistor and Bastion on my phone because I didn't have a Vita at the time, and Bastion wasn't available portably. So I bought that on my phone, played it. Transistor is not available portably besides the iPhone. They just released Dead Cells like last year on the iPhone. I can't imagine how that works.
That's got to be tough. Did you play Transistor?
I love Transistor.
Okay. Me too.
With the sword and all that.
There was several cons I went to after that game came out, and I saw a bunch of what's her name, Claire? What's the main girl's name in that? Whatever her name is, C
Red something.
Red. It's just Red. Maybe
is it just Red?
I think it's just Red. I saw a bunch of those, and some people had just amazing swords.
I got to play it again. I only played it once, and that's when it first came out.
I only played it one time.
I was on the Bastion trip.
There was some intense. I think that was fine for me to experience that game once. Although I do go back and listen to that soundtrack sometimes. I love that Darren Korb guy who did like Bastion. He's done all the Supergiant game stuff.
Yeah.
But the song for the launch trailer for Transistor, like still, they didn't even release the version. Like there's a version in the trailer that they never released a download of the song. And I hate when that happens. When like the album version's not the one that you want.
Like the studio version that you listen to or whatever. Yeah.
It's just like not the, it's missing like your favorite part or whatever.
Yeah.
I had that with it wasn't a cutoff song, but another trailer, like video game wise, where the music just shut it down. This is one of the best trailers. It was the No Man's Sky with the 69 okay. Days of Static song. Like, holy shit, what a trailer. They made too good of a trailer. That was their biggest problem.
I've never actually seen the trailer. I'll check it out after.
Yeah, just that song. Do you like post-rock, like Mogwai or Russian Circles or Explosions in the Sky? It's a genre. It's an instrumental genre of band. You may or may not. You're not uncool if you haven't heard of it. I'll say that.
All right.
It's just my.
I've been listening to a lot of 90s pop lately on Spotify. So
that will make you uncool, but fun. You're a dad. You're supposed to be uncool.
What song was it? Oh, Aqua's a good band, and so is Sixpence None the Richer. That girl is very cute in that video.
Yeah. The Kiss Me song, right?
Yeah. I've been watching these videos, and I'm like, wow, a lot of these women that I paid no attention to as a kid, I'm like, they're pretty cute.
Lisa Loeb was another one, like Stay, that song Stay.
Yeah.
That, isn't it fun? Like the summers of like 13, 14, 15 years old, like those, just because you think of girls, songs that played during the summertime at the swimming pool are like ingrained in me. And Lisa Loeb, I just had the biggest crush on her.
That's fair.
That reminds me of a summer of having crushes on people. Being young was just awesome.
But I mean, like, I didn't like pay attention to how the women looked in the video. It's also funny. A lot of these videos are videos for movies. So like, this Expanse is for what? She's all that.
Yeah. So you see all that stuff.
So you see the clips of them watching the movie in a park. I'm like, oh, they must have hated that stupid movie in there. But the other song with, lying naked on the floor, like You're already this is how I feel.
Natalie Imbruglia, Torn.
She's cute. I saw the video.
Right out of the attic. Yeah, she is a 10. Super.
Yeah, cute. So, and I'm watching the video now, and I'm like, huh, what was I doing?
Well, you were like third or fourth grade or whatever, and I would have been eighth or ninth grade. I was primed for, Lisa Loeb was right as I was starting to get like real crushes on girls. Another one that Ace of Base is another one that all she wants is another baby. Is
Aqua.
Another one that reminds me of that.
Aqua.
And Barbie Girl, absolutely.
Yeah. See, I unironically love the Aqua album because I used to play that album while playing Resident Evil 3 Nemesis.
Okay.
Because I was so scared to listen to it. So I actually listen. I love that album. I can sing you every song on that album. I unironically think it's a great album. Well, I'm introducing my daughter to it.
Barbie Girl is a super fun, stupid song. Like it's a perfect pop song.
But that is their version of The Offspring's Pretty Fly for a White Guy. I was about to say Rabbi, which is Weird Al's version. Where that everyone else likes that song, but I don't. I hate that. I think that's their worst song. It's Pretty Fly for a White Guy. Yeah, but if you listen to Offspring, which is one of my favorite bands, you'll realize that they have a beautiful library of music that no one's really cared about. That's the same with Aqua. Barbie Girl sucks, but Lollipop is an amazing song. It reminds me of Sonic 3D Blast and Resident Evil 3 Nemesis.
That's right, yeah. TLC, Crazy Sexy Cool is one of those like that for me. With Waterfalls and all that on it. I'm like, no, I love this album.
Now I just listen to podcasts when I play games. I'm so stupid.
That's where I'm at.
Too. I used to listen to music all the time, and now I just like to myself talk because I listen to our own podcast because I'm a loser.
Hey, well, if you like to smell,
gotta get those DLs, yo. I'll laugh at my own joke. Good one, Kevin. I high five myself. Yeah, I'm gonna do that later on today when I'm listening to this again.
At what point? Well, I haven't heard it yet.
When I just high five myself.
Okay, I'm teasing.
Oh, I see.
What joke? I've done. I set up Google Homes and let Google just spy on me now.
Yeah,
because I just cast a podcast through my whole house. So now if I'm grinding coffee beans or I'm in the shower or I'm brushing my teeth, I can still hear over those extra noises. And it's because of
podcasting. I have a Bluetooth headphone, and I just walk around the house with it. But I was like, "Daddy, I'm hungry." I'm like, "What, child? I can't hear you over Scott."
See, I don't.
What do you want?
I don't have. I don't have to consider other people.
Yeah,
I'm a bachelor right now, so that someday, if I were in your shoes, that's exactly what I would do. There would be an earbud in at all times.
All the time, dude. I'm washing dishes in my ear, making dinner in my ear. My wife's watching some garbage TV. It's in my ear, playing Switch. Then when I'm in bed, she's watching garbage TV in my ear. I just talk to my wife some more. We don't talk much. And when she does talk, I'm like, sorry?
Yeah, what? No, you're like...
What is it? I'm trying to listen to myself over here.
What? Right.
Yeah, I love you too. Go to sleep. Anyways, the point of the story is that Castlevania's out.
Castlevania's out, and then also HBO, I had no idea about this, is making a Last of Us series, and the writers are involved?
Just came out today when I was like, there's all the news for today, and I just popped up. I'm like, fuck, I gotta put that in there.
Damn, it's Neil Druckmann is. Did it also say one of the Chernobyl people?
The director of the Chernobyl,
leading adaptation is Craig. The leading the adaptation is Craig Mazin. He's the creator of HBO's drama Chernobyl, which I've heard is awesome.
Chernobyl's an amazing show, and it's a perfect length, like 6 episodes.
Someone else from Chernobyl is helping Eli Roth with the Borderlands movie.
There's a Borderlands movie?
Yeah, with Eli Roth, which is too bad.
What? Sonic does a good job and everyone wants to jump on his dick? Get out of here. Not everyone can be Sonic.
He didn't do Eli. Oh, the character. Eli Roth didn't direct.
What, Sonic?
Yeah.
No, I'm saying Sonic is successful and all these video game movies want to come out. Yeah. Get out of here.
Well, yeah.
You got to earn that. You got to be in like games like Sonic Forces and shit to have like a good Sonic movie. You got to have bad games to have a good movie. I love Sonic.
You're not wrong on that.
Chernobyl's good, except they speak English or British for some reason. And I'd never seen anyone point that out. Right?
Yeah, shouldn't they be Russian?
Yeah. And I looked it up. Apparently it's because I'm not a geography. But apparently the reason why they did that is because no one will take a Russian accent serious. Because then they'll sound like Boris and whatever from Rocky and Bullwinkle. Like, oh, yes, we will get them one day. Yeah. We have to stop the nuclear
reactor. But that's really the accent, though.
I know.
Why not just expose people to it and be like, oh, okay, it's not always so.
Yeah, it's weird. But I'm watching the movie, the show, and I'm like, why are you talking British? Everyone's British. You have an Irish guy, you have an English guy, not a single Russian. Not a single Russian accent. It's weird.
That's weird.
But no one said anything, as far as I know. I don't talk to people, so what the hell do I know? But it's a great show.
That's what I hear. So that's cool. I have no expectation. I got to freaking play The Last of Us sometime. I really, really, really want to get that off my bucket list.
How's Uncharted 4 going? Episode 9 still?
All right, we are making a bet of some sort. I know that it is more than 14 chapters, man. I'm on like 16 or 17.
Episode 9 it is.
Fuck you. So last bit of news this week, the PlayStation 2 turned 20 years old.
Motherfucker, we're celebrating, so far every podcast we've had, we're celebrating a gaming icon that's either turning 20 or 30. What the hell? Are we going to die? Is that what's happening?
Yeah, but...
a couple weeks ago we did Pac-Man, they had a Tamagotchi, and then we did Mario.
Well, they're getting better. That was a 40th anniversary, and now we've whittled it all the way down to 20s. So we're that getting younger. True. We're Benjamin Buttoning this...
Yeah, we're aging backwards.
Yeah. I never owned a PlayStation 2 and only play. My brother had one. I played his sometimes and I played some friends.
Okay.
What about you? What was your PS2? Were you a PS2 guy?
I was a PS2 guy. Shit. That was. I don't remember how I got it. Now I have 5 and one of them's modded. I get to play the guy game whenever I want. Yeah, I really don't remember how I got it. It was my first DVD player too.
That so was I remember really like, common.
I remember going to my mom's room to watch the first DVD we ever rented from Blockbuster, which was Loser. That girl's also very cute in that movie. Loser. I remember her name. She eats a lot of honey. It's with the guy from American Pie, the main guy. That's where that song.
Jason I'm Biggs. Just a teenage dirtbag, baby. That was from the movie Loser.
Yeah,
I believe I believe that she was like absolutely adorable.
Yeah,
they had good casting for that. All right, but so you,
my PS2. I mean, there's so many games to mention. Metal Gear Solid 2 was one of my favorite games on there. Twisted Metal Black, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, and Underground.
Kingdom Hearts.
Kingdom Hearts was, started on that. Resident Evil Outbreak. That PS2 was the first time I was able to play a game online.
Oh, I remember playing like Tony Hawk Underground. SOCOM was super popular because of that.
You had the headset, Manhunt, GTA. Like, that's numerous games that came out on that beautiful little system. And I always had mine standing up.
Oh, GTA 3.
I wanted to be different. I'm like, motherfucker, my shit can. So this motherfucker's gonna stay.
Uh oh. You're starting to. You're slowing down and catching up. I don't know if we got an internet problem. Another one that was real big. I'm just saying we might have to do a pause on a chart. It seems okay now.
Okay.
Grand Theft Auto 3, that was the game that put Grand Theft Auto into the mainstream.
Oh, absolutely.
Tiger Woods was probably the game that I personally played the most on PS2. And my favorite game is probably The Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers, that hack and slash game.
Oh, I never played that.
It's fun. It's a hack and slash game. It's like a mild God of War type of game, and they have cutscenes and stuff from the movie. It does a really nice job of going through the movie, The Two Towers. So, yeah.
But yeah, I remember Twisted Metal Black. Like, I used to have my friends come over, and it was 4-player split screen. And we all had our own characters. Every day we'd come over to my house after school, and we'd all play that. And mine was Mr. Graham, my buddy was Sweet Tooth. Like, we'd all play that. That was our thing. We played for like 5 hours after school. And then Fatal Frame, we played that, Pass the Control whenever we got scared. We played Final Fantasy X. It was the first time we all saw Final Fantasy characters speak. And we're like, what the fuck? They're talking. I can't name my character Fart because they actually say the words now.
Oh, yeah.
So you couldn't rename your characters. I was very disappointed in it. Because I thought in my head, if you name him Fart, they're going to be like, Fart, come with me, right?
Yeah.
because I've never seen that before.
Hey, the current generation, this new generation coming up, I mean, AI will be able to take care of that. We'll finally be able to call our characters farts. Someone's going to pull it off. Amazing. It's going to happen.
The crazy thing, I still have my original PS2 controller, which says 8 megabytes on it.
Okay.
8 MB, and I bought it from Block. And it still works, and it's cute to put it in and see, like, my last save file was, like, 2004 Tony Hawk. I created a character. It's really cool to see that.
Hey, can you do me a quick favor? Can you try to leave and join the call real quick and see if that happens? You're starting to do it real quick, and I'm going to see if I can avoid some editing.
Okay.
So while you're doing that, I'm going to keep talking. All right. So Kevin is off of the hello, YouTube. How's this going? But as Kevin is coming back, I actually am interested to talk about what I have been getting into this week, because for the first time, I got, like, in a while, I got really into a mobile game. So Kevin doesn't know that yet. I'm excited to tell him about it. Looks like he's rejoining the call. I hope that it works. It looks
and
like
And that's
it did.
My story of how I earned all that money to buy my PS2. Did you guys hear that?
It's a good story.
Okay, good. So I can't tell it again. Sorry, I cried in the middle of that.
Moving on. I think that might have worked, the join, rejoin. It seemed like a Discord problem for whatever reason. Just, I don't know. So hopefully we're good for us a little bit. I guess, you know, Kevin, what would you say is your favorite game? You'd wanted to ask me, and I'm curious, because out of the two that you listed here, I swear to God, without looking, I would have guessed these is your two. And would you like me to guess which one is your favorite, or do you want to say it?
No, you can guess.
I would have guessed Twisted Metal Black. Or I would have said the Twisted Metal. I would have said there's a Twisted Metal on there.
Twisted Metal Black, looking back, oh, that rhymed, for which one was my favorite of all time PS2 game, but it was between Metal Gear Solid 2 or Twisted Metal Black. I have to go Twisted Metal Black because I love the Twisted Metal series. I love this is the only game that I really thought about after. I even created characters. Like, me and my friends all created different characters. Like, we just made them up in class. Mm-hmm. I wrote a story about Twisted Metal, like, on Microsoft Word back in the day. I used words like, I heard my heart beating in the echo like a jackhammer, like shit like that.
Yeah.
And I would do, like, I met Sweet Tooth stats, and I, like, have, like, a page of his stats, like, you know, firepower, like, stupid shit like that in this Word document. I just loved it. And I loved playing with my friends, and I wish we had Twisted Metal Online at the time, but we didn't. That came out after. That's the game that, because Metal Gear Solid 2, as much as I love that game and I played it multiple times, that was just me. And a lot of the time, I'm just skipping dialogue because I've played it so many times. But Twisted Metal Black is just so much fun. Even now, I bought it again on PS4.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the same because the controls are weird, because, like, up is go instead of X or whatever. Like, you know when they do the weird things?
Sure.
Twisted Metal Black, for sure, is probably my favorite PS2 game of all time.
I feel like that's probably for some reason, I just feel like on multiple occasions, you've emailed us over the course of the show about it.
About Twisted Metal Black specifically?
Just Twisted Metal in general, yeah. Just... maybe it was Black every time, and I didn't associate it.
But I mean, like, I'm going to just go on a little tangent here.
You have the theme song, to say about it.
The theme song is Painted Black by Rolling Stones. So, like, just the first couple notes, and, like, zooms into, like, the start menu. And you're like, what the hell? I know those notes before internet, right? So you're like, I know those notes. What is that? And then you beat the game as one of the characters. And they were dark, too, like, the storylines. You beat the game, and the end credit scene is the whole song for Painted Black. You're like, oh, that's what it is.
Cool.
And it has a beautiful movie they put together with all the characters, like the cutscene. Like Mr. Grimm's character, like they made these stupid ass characters like Sweet Tooth, the Killer Clown, into characters that are, like, they make sense. So Mr. Grimm in the original Twisted Metal is the Grim Reaper who rides a motorcycle. Very 90s, very stupid.
Yes.
So his iconic thing, which, like, a skull on a motorcycle, think Ghost Rider without the flaming head. That doesn't make sense in Metal Black because it's supposed to be based on real world. So instead, it's a guy who was in the Vietnam War, I want to say, with his buddy, and they were both POWs. And his buddy died. So for him to survive, he ate his friend. And then he, as a memorial to his friend, he wore his buddy's skull as a helmet. So you still have that skeleton, right? It's so dark.
That's a great way to explain that. Like, as far as
it's so cool, like dark shit like that. Like Sweet Tooth is a serial killer, and he goes to the electric chair. But then one of the other characters, Preacher, comes in and like curses him right as he gets shocked, making his hair on fire, like the clown of Sweet Tooth. So he's always in pain for everything he's done wrong. So that's why his, like, it's cool shit like that. Yeah. Where you're like, that's really fucking cool.
It's absurd and nonsensical, but there is actual thought that, given the premise of the game world, yes, that makes absolute sense and is a great explanation.
And they all tie in together without tying in together. Because you beat the game, you get an ending. But then when you beat the game with multiple characters, all the endings kind of connect in a weird way.
Okay.
So one of the characters, like Roadkill, would connect with Sweet Tooth because they cross paths. Like in their storylines, individual storyline. I saw a clown drive by. What a weird thing to see. You know what I mean? Like they do stuff like that.
Cool.
But one of the characters, I want to say Roadkill or Warthog. He's the only one aware that he's in a Twisted Metal competition. And I might be confusing this with Twisted Metal 2, but he wants to get out of it. Like he's aware that he's in either a game or this world with other characters. And this other guy, I think it's either Minion or Black, I forget, it's been years. In between levels, they'll have like little dialogue. His dialogue is all in numbers. So me and my friends there did like the Christmas story thing of, you know, be sure to drink your Ovaltine.
Yeah.
But we're decoding what he was saying. We read it out. Like, oh, it was so fucking cool. It was so fun. Because he didn't have an ending. His thing was only dialogue between levels. Oh, so good. Twisted Metal Black is fantastic. I recommend anyone check it out.
That
was a long time.
No, it's good. And I'm boring. I have my two favorites are Tiger Woods and Two Towers. I do have, I bought them thinking that someday I'm going to end up with a PS2 to be able to play those again. I figured I might be able to get the emulator to work on my computer.
I have like four PS2s. I can send you one.
Yeah, it costs you as much as a PS2.
To send it?
Yeah, shipping Canada to US stinks. You're legitimately like a 5-hour drive too. Like you really do not. I live closer to you than Dustin.
Yeah, I believe that.
Not by a lot, a couple hours, not much though.
So, now I'm gonna do like the kid question. Can we have Painted Black as the end theme song to this episode?
Absolutely.
All right then. Absolutely. I tried.
Oh my gosh, Zarek, what's up, dude? Who are you people? Zarek's here, dude. It's good to see you, man. How you been?
Sup, homie?
This is Kevin. Kevin, this is Zarek.
Hello. Nice to meet you.
Say hello. You know Zarek, right?
I do. He's the cat.
The cat. Yeah, I was going to say the cat cam. Just playing some Ori again. Hell yeah, man. I hope that you get less frustrated in the ending when you play through Ori again.
That ending is tough.
Highly recommend one of my favorite videos Zarek has done was his playthrough of Ori. If you go to XEARRIK Gaming on YouTube and look for his Ori video, it's awesome.
Does he do a commentary while he plays?
Yeah, yep.
Oh, I'll check it out then.
It's like a Let's Play.
Oh, cool.
Kind of style.
I think I added him on YouTube. I'm not sure. Pretty sure I did.
Cool. So it's good to see you, man.
Yeah, that's all the news.
So let's talk about Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Yeah, so the games I played, I actually got around to playing the remake demo. I didn't even know it was going to come out. You never played Final Fantasy, right? Any of them?
No.
This is a beautiful looking game. It is a beautiful. It's probably one of the best games I say of this generation is Spider-Man, and this is pretty damn close to Spider-Man level on detail and graphics, considering that these characters looked awful in the original.
What about gameplay? I heard somebody say that it has a very Kingdom Heartsy approach. What's your opinion of that?
I wish it had more of a Kingdom Hearts approach. More hack and slashy. It is, but it isn't. Because, I don't know. I guess.
Maybe they were expecting, if you're expecting original Final Fantasy and you end up here with what you got.
Well, no, because I knew it wasn't going to be RPG, like, wait for your turn.
Of course. But does that, if one end of the spectrum is the original and the other end is like a Kingdom Hearts,
it seems like it's favoring,
right?
I feel like it plays more like Crisis Core, which is what I'm playing right now as well.
Okay, what's that like?
It's same style action, you know, press X to attack, but then you got to move right and left to like choose different magic and items.
Okay.
Which is kind of what this does. But Kingdom Hearts flows better, or maybe it's because I didn't know how to do short keys or whatever they're called. Because I had to keep like, you know, selecting this.
You like hold R2 and it brings up a different menu or something. I was hearing guys talk about it. It's really weird
because the active time gauge or whatever the hell they call it goes. So you can attack anytime, but until that thing fills up, you can't use magic or items. It took me a while to figure that out. So it's like the old school Final Fantasy of having that bar go, so you had to choose your way, your command.
Yeah.
That still exists, which I'm like, why? Why not either make it RPG or make it like Kingdom Hearts?
I thought you could choose one or the other, too. Isn't there an option to pick
I chose classic mode. I don't know if that's what they're talking about.
I bet that, yeah.
Because I found that active time bar kind of annoying because all the game my ass had to be.
There's like easy, normal, and classic. And I think you probably want to go to normal, especially if you want it to be more like Kingdom Hearts. I assumed that you weren't playing classic. I've seen some videos on YouTube about it.
Yeah.
So I'm not talking from a full bit of authority here.
Yeah.
I'm speculating.
I only chose classic, so.
Try normal. Can you play the demo again?
Yeah.
If you're bored, give it a try at normal. I'd love to hear your opinion, because all I want to know is someone on Giant Bomb said that it was really close to Kingdom Hearts, or it was way more close to Kingdom Hearts than we're expecting. And I'm like, not till Kevin says so. Am I going to buy this?
But I found it more like Crisis Core than Kingdom Hearts, but I can see where people are saying it's like Kingdom Hearts.
Okay.
But I like the gameplay in Kingdom Hearts, where this one I didn't really enjoy that much. Like the fighting?
Yeah, okay.
I don't know. It just felt kind of different in a weird way. Maybe because it is different. But I'm like, why go that different?
But maybe they did. That's what I'm saying. I'd love for you to be able to comment on normal mode.
Yeah, maybe I'll try that. Because I chose classic, because I always choose classic.
I just wonder if you're like, if you do play normal, you'd be like, oh, classic makes perfect sense that they intentionally added that garbage back in, so it'd feel kind of like maybe the old way.
Yeah.
So, we got some stuff from Kevin. Kevin, Zarek. I asked if I lost some weight. Yes, I've lost some weight. He says, Final Fantasy VII Remake. He says, I give it a perfect score of 2.5 out of 10. We'll see if it earns the other 7.5 as the other games release.
Why, you thought it was bad?
No, he's saying, so far it's earned all the possible points, but it doesn't have 10 points worth of game out yet.
Ah, gotcha. All right, well, what about the actual demo itself?
Can I play the Resident Evil 2 demo? He says, there's a classic mode where it does the fighting for you and you do menus alone. He says, I've played through the demo 5 times now. The normal mode felt natural after a little while. I was able to access the menu and select things while evading and attacking. He says, it feels really good if you remember to switch between characters in combat. Do a combo or two with Cloud and then switch to Barret and use Barret's ability.
He says,
while he's using his ability, I switch back to Cloud. It actually feels like a turn-based game when you play it like that.
See, I also didn't like the character switching. I wanted to play as Cloud and like let the character's AI control the rest, kind of like Kingdom Hearts, where you only control Sora and Donald Goofy kind of do their own thing.
Oh. So I like the active style. On my only basis is Chrono Trigger, but that you're bouncing between, you switch between the characters. I think I would really like the...
That works well in an RPG, but in an action-based game like this, it's kind of daunting, I found. I was like, fuck, how do I go back to Barret? How do I go back to Cloud?
Damn it.
Cloud's on the floor.
Man, maybe I got to, you know what? I think I just got to suck it up and I got to do this, right?
Try it, because it's not like the other Final Fantasies. You don't have to know the other Final Fantasies. It is the same story.
Oh, so you're not missing anything. Yeah, exactly. I, and it's not, I should just be part of the demo conversation. It seems fun.
It's only like an hour and a half long or 2 hours. Yeah. I beat it in the sitting, so.
Yeah, I've heard it's an hour kind of a thing. The character switching feels natural if you play around with it. So
okay.
I think he's saying give it a
go. See, I also have my problem of I want something that I start to be over with, no matter how much I'm enjoying it. Like, the minute I start it, I'm like, I just want to finish. Like, I'm playing FFA Remastered, and I'm like, I just want to finish you. Like, I've done this already. Just finish, right? But why did I even pick it up to begin with?
Yeah.
And it's also a demo, so I don't really play around too much with the demo because I know, A, my choices don't matter, and B, it can change by the time the game comes out. It was the same thing with Resident Evil 2 demo. I didn't, like, play the demo as far as I can go. I just fucked around until the time ran out because that's the way they had it.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm like, why am I gonna find all these hidden items if the game can end at any point? Like, there's no purpose for me to do this if I'm going to lose it all.
Sure.
So I just want to play it to get a feel of it and to see how it looks. Not necessarily to, like, play around with the combat and all that. I just want to get in there, finish, done. Like, that's it. But maybe I'll try it again.
He also says it's a new way of playing a game, so you're learning a new skill. So play the demo a few times while switching. He's just recommending.
Yeah.
He says the demo is actually only about 45 minutes. If you really take your time, it'll get you an hour. So, yeah, I definitely need to play it. Very cool. Now, you also went down, Darmaz helped get you going with some stuff, right?
He guilt-tripped me on Twitter.
He did. He will call you out, man. I love that. It's fun.
So he was asking me if I bought the because I think he was the one who mentioned the E-Reader levels for Super Mario 3 Game Boy Advance. He asked me if I bought it. I was like, no, I didn't. He's like, it's your favorite game. Why didn't you buy it? I'm like, you're right. Why haven't I bought that yet? So I bought it, and I've been playing it. And
I remember a blue house. Like, I remember how we didn't know what we were talking about. When I saw the exchange that you guys were having on Twitter, and I'm like, motherfucker, I do remember some of this. Wait a minute. So I'm excited to hear what you have to say.
Now, I'm wondering, because I've never played, well, I have it on Game Boy Advance, but I'm wondering if you can get to that area, but it doesn't necessarily mean you can play the levels unless you have the sliders or the swipes or the cards. So maybe you did see the blue house. Maybe that was an option. And then after, it's like, you know, swipe now to play the level.
Or it could have been a Nintendo Power screenshot. The blue house is in my memory.
Yeah.
How it got there before the exchange on Twitter, I can't quite recall. It felt like I had stumbled across it in a game.
Yeah.
I don't know. Probably not.
Dude, this game is Super Mario 3.5. It's Super Mario 4. Like, it's what, like, 80 levels or something ridiculous, or 39 levels.
How much is in that?
I want to say, I don't remember exactly how much, but there's a lot of levels. It's like, it's a whole game is how many levels there are. And each level has 5 coins for you to get, either 3, 4, 5, or 6, or kind of, you know, you ever play a Mario Run on the iPhone?
Yeah.
You know, you got to collect those 5 coins, pink, red, white, or whatever it was.
Yeah.
So you have 5 coins to collect in every level. And I don't consider a level beat unless I've completed those 5 coins. So I've been on levels for hours trying to get the 5 coins because there's no checkpoints. And there are save states, but I'm not going to – come on. I'm not going to use save states. The first couple levels was like Mario 1, like remade with Super Mario Bros. 3, which I'm like, okay, I've seen this before. Like nothing fancy. And then, you know, you start throwing in a vegetable from Mario 2. And I've seen a feather from Mario World, which I'm guessing the cape is also in here. I haven't used it yet. And then the levels become Mario Maker levels. But the Mario Maker levels made by Nintendo.
Sure.
Where they're like, I'm like, that was difficult. Like, these levels are difficult but creative. There's a whole level of you on Parabeatles.
And where did you buy this?
The Wii U. They have the Game Boy Advance version.
Maybe I need to do this. How much is that?
Yeah.
Like,
it was $7.99 for Canadians.
Okay, so it's probably the $4.99 or whatever for us.
Which is dumb because I bought Super Mario 3 on the Wii U for NES. So that's why I didn't want to buy it again for game. I'm like, why would you release the same game twice? I never knew this thing had more content and better graphics, of course. And
so if the blue mushroom,
this is probably the best version of Super Mario Brothers 3 I've ever played.
The blue mushroom is only in this GBA one that I definitely didn't get it in my mind from playing. It had to be from a magazine or something.
Yeah, it's only I've never seen it before.
But it felt familiar. It did.
Like the blue mushroom is not even a mushroom house where you choose 3 items like I thought it was. It's a bonus round to get a random item. And it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get that item.
Oh, so okay.
So there's a house in the corner where you dig. Remember in Mario 2 when you dig like down the pipe, like Dig Dug? You do that, and you have four options of which one you're going to fall into, and whichever one you fall into can either be a chest or nothing. So that's that bonus house. It costs coins, so coins actually matter. And the other one, you got to bounce a ball. The blue house, you got to bounce a ball to hit an object to get an item, which I can't figure out. That also costs coins.
Yeah, it's not from playing it that that's in my mind. Going back to Final Fantasy VII real quick. Zarek thinks you can probably beat it in 30 minutes if you skip the cutscenes. Jessie is so cute. She's so thirsty as well.
Yeah, that's what everyone's been saying. Because she's like, Jessie's one of the characters in Final Fantasy VII.
I didn't know if thirsty was like slang
for something. Yeah, it is. Or meaning she like wants Cloud's Cloud.
Oh, okay. That's what I thought it meant.
Yeah.
Okay. She's putting out the feelers. Aerith, which one? You're an Aerith, right? So we're an Aerith podcast.
I'm an Aerith kind of guy.
We're an Aerith podcast. Aerith is also so beautiful in the cutscenes. I'm crushing on Jessie, but Aerith is my true love. She and I will be together forever. And if anybody harms a hair on her head, it's the end of the entire planet, he says.
Should we tell him?
No.
I'm all about that Kate Sith. Oh, I can't wait for that little cat guy. Yes, play the demo. Sorry, going back to Mario 3.
Yep.
The levels are incredibly hard, incredibly creative, and I'm about halfway through because I want to get the coins. Like, they start you off early, easy. Mm-hmm. So Mario 1 levels, whatever. But there's a whole level, like I said, that you have to jump on para beetles. Remember those beetles where you like jump on, they go down a little bit? The whole level is that. There's no ground.
That's cool.
So you got to jump on them and also get coins. And if you die, you start over as Little Mario. I was watching
in like regular Mario 3, they have one of those levels, don't they?
I think so.
I'm positive they do.
But it's either, I think Mario 3, you have checkpoints at least. I don't remember. But the guy I was watching a video on Game Explain because I wanted to see someone else play these levels. And the guy brought up a good point. These games are probably meant to be played with like the P e-reader card where you can fly unlimited. So these levels are probably easier because you had all these different items. So I'm always small Mario in the game. Okay. So unless the game gives me a mushroom, I don't have a library of things because I just got it, right?
Yeah.
So he brought up a good point. Maybe these levels are harder because you don't have these extra items that you normally would if you had the cards. So I'm like, yeah, that's a good point. If you constantly could get a mushroom in the middle of the level, I'm sure you'd be able to beat it a lot faster.
Sounds way more fun without the cards, though.
It's challenging, but I think Mario Maker helped because this would have been – like, one of the levels has the football guys from Super Mario World in it. Keep in mind, I'm playing Super Mario Bros. 3, so seeing that Super Mario World football guy in this game is, jarring.
Sure.
It's weird.
Yeah.
And being able to pick up a vegetable, like Mario 2, to throw it at someone is weird, because I'm a Mario 3 sprite.
Yeah.
And it combined all of this, just like in Mario Maker. And I think it would have been harder if I haven't played Mario Maker. Mario Maker... you play like the hard levels that these assholes make and you beat it. You're like, take that, motherfuckers. Fuck you, Kevin.
Yeah.
and that helped with this because I'm like, I'm treating it like a Mario Maker level because it's the same graphics. It has all the characters you normally don't see in it is in it. And it's great. For this price, I'm surprised Nintendo didn't advertise this as like at all because I had no idea it existed and that's my favorite game. And for this price, I recommend everyone check it out. It's sad that it's tied to the Wii U. And I'm sure you can get like an emulated version that's patched, but support it so you can show that, yeah, we want more of this.
Yeah,
give us more of these the rare things.
Shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool.
And one more thing. Yeah, I plan to beat it as Mario because you get like, you have Mario icons, but you can also play as Luigi. And he's got those little twinkle toe things where he floats.
Yeah, physics. Yeah, okay.
And it's awful. And once I beat it as Mario, because the coins will be collected, I'm going to do it again as Luigi. See if I can do it.
Are you in the camp that Luigi's awful in Mario 2?
What they did to him, yeah. Because he was just in Mario... Oh, you mean Mario 2 or as well?
Mario numeral 2.
Number 2. He's my favorite besides Peach.
Okay. Like for me, it's like...
Luigi, but you control his...
Luigi or Buzz. I'm used to his... But he's overpowered. People are like, he's garbage. I think he breaks the game. I think he makes the game too easy.
Peach. Yeah.
But people seem to
Schultz, right?
Yeah,
so, same idea.
But she but lifts slow. Two. At least she lifts slow, and she can't jump. You can fly, like you can bank off of sprites with Luigi and go up two screens.
Yeah, that's true. But can you control his Twinkle Toes, or was that just done when you jumped?
It's just done when you jumped. What do you mean?
Okay, so like, that's
and you
that's,
can change direction and stuff. You give full
control. No, because the Peach, you have to hold down the button to make her float, right?
Yeah.
With Luigi, it just happened when you jumped, right? So that's what they did in Mario 3 then.
And there was a way in Mario, the NES Mario 3, that if you did a back jump off of a slide, you could get the sprite to flicker in a weird way, and it looked like it was Luigi flipping his feet.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's funny. It was a goofy little...
Because in Mario 3, Luigi didn't do that, but correct. In this version, he does.
Because he was just Mario in the third one.
Basically. So they added that in for this GBA version. That's cool. I recommend everyone check it out. It's like 30 plus levels of extra Mario 3 that you've never seen before.
That's worth
it's
five amazing. Bucks for me.
Absolutely.
Zerik says, I'm not actually sure I've ever played through Mario 3 without using a card to beat an annoying stage. So, I always have at least one. E-reader. Yeah, I always have at least one to get over one of the ship stages. It's just annoying. Luigi is good if you get used to him. Yep.
Yeah. And it's weird playing with him and then going back to Mario. You're like, oh, I miss the Luigi physics.
You
now.
Feel like so, feel so like, naked. Strained, like,
yeah, yeah.
Unshackle me.
Yeah.
Well, good deal, man. Anything else?
No, that's all the games.
I already mentioned I was sick and watched Blade Runner. Another thing I did was I don't like playing games when I'm sick normally. I know some people love playing games when they're sick. I'm not interested in it. But I was hanging out with my buddy over the weekend, which I really felt bad about. I thought maybe I'm not getting fully sick and I totally hung out with people and should not have. I was a fucking asshole. But he convinced me to download a mobile game called South Park Phone Destroyer. And I think it came out in 2017 or something.
Sounds about right.
And I loved Hearthstone. And I've given up. Like, I spent way too much money over years and I stopped having fun. I really, really like that game. I played Hearthstone for a good 4 or 5 years. Like, really, very frequently, at least weekly.
But yeah.
Long stretches of daily. I've played this game for a lot every day since my buddy got me to... It's a free-to-play game. It's a phone game. These are things that normally I'm not into, but there's a really generous pack system that you earn really good packs frequently. Very fair upgrade systems so far. There's still a lot of people playing. The matchmaking is very quick.
I like playing online. I played this game when it first came out too, because I stopped playing because it got repetitive, like most free-to-play games.
Yeah.
But I didn't stop playing because I wasn't having fun. I was just like, what's the point?
Did you ever get into Clash Royale or whatever?
No.
I did for a bit. That's very fun too. But those you really hit really nasty freemium walls and eventually you're like, well, I either have to pay.
That happens in Marvel games a lot.
It's like you either have to pay to get good for another couple sessions and then you start getting trounced again. Then you got to pay to get good. And so I haven't run into that with South Park yet. I think inevitably I'll have to. But it's really scratching that itch. So it's essentially like a Clash Royale game where you have cards that come up and they're different characters. And some of them are tanks and some of them are assassins and healers. Yeah. And you get a card that comes up like in Clash Royale and you play the card and you pick where you want the character to go on the screen. And then your characters battle the way they would in like Dota. You know, you just place the characters and they fight amongst themselves based on their health and whatnot. And
it's funny.
Like, yeah. It is. They've really got, you know, typically good South Park funny humor.
Like Randy wearing the Fifth Element outfit.
Yeah, Fifth Element Randy's funny. And the Fifth Element Randy, actually, every Randy's an ace, you know.
Yeah,
the Randy Nun is. When isn't Randy amazing in that show?
Yeah.
It's just. So
that's another show I've watched in like 7 years.
You know what? I don't know. I still find it excellent.
Well, I just because I don't know what time it plays. Like I played Stick of Truth, and Stick of Truth was meant for me, because I understand every single reference. But then I played Fractured Butthole, and I didn't get half the things. I'm okay. Like, why is Morgan like? A lot of things went over my head because it's from the newer episodes.
Gotcha.
Like the way Kenny's house was like in the middle of a mall or something, and I was like, this looks different, but it's based on the show.
Yeah.
Like the member berries. I don't know what the fuck member berry was. I don't know. And it kept showing up in this stupid game.
Mem?
What is this thing?
Do you?
Anyways.
Okay. Yeah.
What are you going to say?
Do you want me to explain? Do you actually know what member berries are? Or were you making a joke?
No. I found out
okay.
after. Like they're just berry. Yeah.
So, but it's a surprisingly fun game. And if you used to be in Hearthstone or Clash Royale and you're falling off of those games and you want another one, this is a really...
You don't feel ripped off playing this game.
No.
For a premium game. It's how I felt with Simpsons Tapped Out
okay.
before I got tired of it. I had to stop playing that game because I wake up every morning, daddy, please, because, you know, she's older now. And I'm like, get out of here. I got to take care of my Simpsons first, right? And every, like, 4 hours, I'm in public just, like, because time-based. So, I'd stop everything to, like, focus on this stupid thing. And I'm just like, I got to stop this. I've been playing for 7 years or 6 years, whatever it is. And I'm like, I got to stop. I'm not enjoying it. I'm just doing it because it's routine.
Yeah, you have the sunk cost fallacy. Like, I've already put this much time in. Like, I can't just let
yeah,
it go.
Yeah, I've gone
like,
this far.
Yeah, but
you'd but be happy it was, if you let it go. It was, like, I maybe spent $2 in the game just because I felt like I wanted to give him some money. But it's never. I never felt forced to pay. Where that's how I felt with the South Park Phone Destroyer. I never felt forced that you have to pay to beat this level. Either you can, it's going to be harder, but we're not forcing you to. Here's a deck of cards. Have fun.
Yes. So that's been pretty cool. Surprisingly fun. Otherwise, I was sick and I'm stressed. So
there's another card game
I didn't play anything else.
You might enjoy called Animation Showdown, I think. And it's like American Dad characters, Family Guy characters, King of the Hill, Bob's Burgers. King of the Hill?
I love King of the Hill, but two-thirds of those I don't like. There's no way South Park's going to be, or King of the Hill is going to be the most prevalent. It's going to be all American Dad and stupid Family Guy crap.
Well, it's just a card game, right? So it's not like South Park where the characters come to life. It's just
like
a card
game. I don't need another card game, man. I'm good at one at a time. But if I might ask you about that again when I burn out on this one. Because if you said it's fair, it felt...
No. Simpsons felt fair.
Oh, this Fox,
the animation game. Fox I don't animation. Like card games, so I don't care about that. I was like, oh, cool, King of Hill. Oh, it's a card game? Yeah. If anyone ever wants some good iPhone games, come to me. I always recommend Orange Pixel.
You do?
They're fantastic games, so...
Good deal. Well, Kevin, let's call it a show for the night.
Yeah.
So, thank you very much to everybody that was listening. Zarek, really, it was great to see you, man.
Do we have any comments or emails?
Oh, we before? Do. We do. Sorry. Thank you.
Okay.
We do. Oh, wait a minute. We just got emails an Ooh. Hour ago. Let me see. We got some stuff from Demez. He said, I did a super easy mod, 2 solder points, and installed a 56K ohm resistor inside the NES. It reconnects the audio pin from the cartridge for the Famicom audio chips. Ooh. Fully supported the audio chips for the Famicom games on EverDrives now. So I tried out Castlevania 3, and it sounds insane. He says, I know you already have this with your analog system, but this is my first time giving it a go. That's amazing, dude.
So it made the audio better?
No. Yes. Well, that's subjectively better.
Okay.
The, in like Castlevania 3, for example, they had a different chip inside the actual cartridge that provided an extra channel for sound. So if, you go to YouTube and you look at Castlevania NES, like a comparison video of like the music between 3, the US and 3, the Japanese version, it sounds totally different because there's like it's just better because there's more instrumentation and it's just it's different. It's great.
Yeah, because I know the whole like, you know, they dig out a sound to make a sound effect. Like in Mario, you collect coins and the music stops to make that sound channel available.
Yeah.
Is that what you're talking about?
It doesn't require that stoppage or whatever.
Yeah, that's cool.
But also it does give you a whole other instrument. Like, so there is like, you just got to hear that. It's crazy, the difference. Like, you can't
believe it. How does it add a different instrument?
If you have another chip that you have more processing power, you could add a different track. Like, let's say that you only had a four-track recorder for your guitar and your singer.
Yeah,
right? But let's say you could daisy chain another two-track on there. Now you have six tracks to work with.
No, I got that, but where does that extra track come from?
The manufacturing. Like, when they're building the motherboard that goes into the cartridge, they solder new chips. Like, you know, when you – and maybe I'm not answering your question – when you open up a cartridge and you see the chips that are soldered on them, open up another cartridge, they are not laid out the same. They might be, but they probably aren't. So if, like, arcade machines back in the day, like, some of them had better graphics and better audio. And if you look at those boards, it's because they have more processors in there. So they had a different, they had a different way to process sounds in the Famicom chip than they did in the NES American version.
No, no, I get that. Maybe
why are you letting me tell this? Like, what's your question then?
Jeez, sorry. No. So you're adding an extra soundtrack or whatever in there.
Yeah.
But what does that add? So instead of does it go like
you have to hear it?
Yes. What's different about it? Okay, so it does add like some sort of
instrumentation. Something. Yeah, like you have to hear it.
Okay, but where does that come from? How does it change from to what changes that? Is that already on?
I'm going to say the extra chip, and we're going to go back around in circles again.
It's all right, fine.
It's the extra chip. I don't know. Like you add a trumpet to the band to get a trumpet sound. I don't know, man.
But that trumpet, you call the trumpeter in to do that, but the sound already.
So they called a chip in. But let's say
so this chip adds the music.
Okay, so
what I'm trying to find out. Who's on first?
How you didn't get that from what I've said, I apologize, but that was my intention to say. It's kind of like, moving on. Dumbass, thanks for sending in a great fucking email, dude. I was kidding. And then he also says, a quick Nier Automata Easter egg. You got to try real quick. He says, this is real quick, but it's funny. It takes just a few seconds and you can try it, so I won't explain the whole outcome. You got to use your passive abilities, and you know the chip's equipment page. Equip the OS chip, and then unpause and return to see what happens. Dude, I bounced out of Nier Automata. I can't remember.
I never played that one.
It's really fantastic.
I got that mixed up with Noir. Noir? It was a PS Plus free game. Or was it Nier? Neo? I don't remember.
There was Neo as well. This one's like...
Which one's the one with the cyborgs? And the guy has like a blindfold?
Nier Automata, the one he's talking about.
Okay, so that's not the one we got for PlayStation Plus.
Correct.
Okay, gotcha. I got those two games.
Neo, I think, and that is like that samurai Dark Souls game.
Okay, I want to play and the one he's talking about.
Yeah, I think you'd really like it because what's somehow like you're in a third-person action game, right?
It's like Devil May Cry, I heard, right?
Yes.
Sort of?
Yeah, but then out of nowhere, the game genre changes to do something fun and then spits you back out to a third-person action game.
Oh, see, that's cool. I wonder if that's on sale. Okay, I gotta look into that.
Zarek has it. He says, think of it like this, 24-bit colors versus 32-bit color depth.
Okay.
So there's more colors to choose from. So
I got that.
Add another
chip. But the NES cartridge only has four songs written for the game. Or sorry, four sounds written for the game.
Yeah, so, but there's more than four sounds available, just only four at a time, right?
Yeah, so throwing in that extra chip opens up so one keeps playing without having to stop for something else.
Correct.
Okay, that's what I was trying to find out. I thought what he said was he added a chip that adds like a different backtrack music.
Oh, no, he soldered.
Like, I thought it added something new to it. I mean, how does that happen?
Oh, now I see what you're saying. So what he did was allow it so that the by doing that little solder point in the system, it now made it compatible so that that extra chip in the cartridge could be read by the system.
Okay, gotcha.
Where before, you would need an actual Famicom that has the proper guts to be able to read the cart appropriately.
Gotcha.
Sorry. I didn't realize that's where the I knew that I was had to be missing something because I'm like, it's an extra chip is where it comes from. But considering you didn't read the email from the mod, like I'm reading it, so I'm visualizing what's going on.
I'm also not that bright, so you know, calm A, calm B.
Yeah, sure. Well, I guess we'll take it that way. But there's some really neat stuff with those old systems that let you get around things. Like another good example is in the NES or the Super Nintendos, how you take the little tabs out.
Yeah, and then it's region free or whatever.
Region free, or yeah. There's some Gyromite carts where they took motherboards that there were like extra Famicom carts, and they put little adapters in the NES cartridge so that they would fit in a regular NES. So if you need a Famicom to NES adapter, sometimes they're natively in like certain Gyromites in early games.
Yeah, that's cool. I like that.
Dustin did a video on his personal YouTube channel about that years ago. So, yeah, very cool, Dumez. And then he also wrote in to say, I saw the credits on... Oh, wait. No, he did that one. He saw the credits on Musha. We talked about that last episode. No, the only comment from the last one is, Kevin, you have a big fan.
I do.
Matt Hoffman. Thank you, Matt. Writes, Kevin, you're so dreamy. Heart.
I don't know what to say. Even fresh.
Even used an emoji heart.
Nice. Well, I'll take that as a compliment because I haven't been complimented in a very long time and I need the attention. So
is that slick haircut, man? It is. Looking too fresh now.
Now, I also know Matt Hoffman was that cyclist or BMXer who is also dead. So I don't know what to think about this. But I will thank you for the comment.
Maybe we have a ghost. I don't know.
I think it's because I looked naked in the last episode. My pink shirt.
You did look naked in the last. That's funny.
Now you wear your corn shirt. That's now become my pajamas. Because I'm an old man.
Gotta love this. I know. You were complimenting me. I'm wearing a shirt that back when Nintendo would give you awesome stuff for buying their games and collecting points. Posters, yeah. The States people.
I got him as Club Nintendo. This new My Reward system sucks balls. Wow, I spent $800 so I can get $8 off a game.
Yeah.
I used to get free shit, man.
Yes, free stuff. I will pay the shipping. Like, I don't care.
The other day, I had a PlayStation, your gray shirt reminded me that I had a PlayStation shirt that PlayStation sent me when I was reviewing games and all that. And it just finally worn out. I wore it as my pajamas, but like where the big X for the PlayStation logo was. It was like ripping in like the cross hatching. So you can see my nipple like constantly, right? So I decided to just like Hulk Hogan and just rip my shirt open.
That's fun.
It was so satisfying. I'm just like, because I'm like, this is completely done. There's no saving it. And I have tiny nipples, so it's not worth like any kind of sneak peek. So I had to get rid of it.
I'm more of a tiny nipple guy. So go ahead.
You're like bee stings.
Show them as you want. That's going to be it for the show, I think. Dumez has some little icons that showed up next to his name in our fields. He has the highest number of hearted comments from our channel. And Dumez has been subscribed to us publicly for 5 years. Very flattered. Thank you.
Awesome.
So that is going to be it for the show.
There we go.
Music. Oh, that's right. How do I do this? I forget how to get out of here. But if you'd like to email the show, you can send us an email. It's classicelite@gmail.com. Again, we're not kidding. If you do buy stuff through our Amazon affiliate links, especially microphones, we do get a commission on that. So you do help support the show that way. I want to thank Ben Landis very much for letting us use his song Through the Forest as our intro tune. And shout out and thanks to Cubby for giving us permission he gives public permission, for the song Tidal Force off the album Sleet. Both are excellent. You can get them in the description. I hope people enjoyed the Dorkly song that we ripped last week. That
I like the way you you transitioned that slowly into it.
Did you? Okay, I put a little.
Like the minute we stopped talking is when the lyrics kicked in. Yeah. I was like, nice, very nice.
I do. I try to do a nice little fade out, and I try to time the episodes really. I try to use the cadence of you or Dustin or whoever to give a nice, like, on beat kind of exit.
That was nice. I noticed.
Thank you. Glad somebody did. it was at the end of the show, so holy smokes. All right. Well, on social media, our handle is ClassicL337 everywhere. That's Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. Get us the audio version of our podcast is on our website, classicleet.com. But all your podcatchers will have us. Eventually, we'll get there on Spotify, I promise. And Kevin Zarek also says, here you go, Kevin. A link to a video that lets you hear the wave synth difference.
Thank you. That's all I wanted. I need. I'm a visual learner, or in this case, an audio learner.
Yes. And so am I, and I'm also equally a terrible explainer.
No, you did a good job. It's your explaining and my dumbness, and they just clash. It's like oil and water.
It's not just this, though, Kevin. This is all day work for me. People aren't picking up what I'm putting down.
All right.
I'll take it. Yeah. we both want to take credit for it.
Fuck it. For a second. You know what? So. Let's just blame it on Zarek.
Yeah, Zarek, even though it was dumbass's fault, he sent the fucking email.
I know. But Zarek's the only person in the room for us to yell at. So.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you're here, so you're taking it. It's because we love you. You made me do this. He also says, I love the NES better, but most of the time the Famicom is better. Zelda is one of them I like better on the NES. Dude, yeah, the Zelda audio is not that great.
I gotta check this out.
So that's going to be it for the show, everybody. Thank you very much for listening to episode 312 of the Classic Elite Podcast. And we should see you next week for the canceled Star Wars. Terrible joke. We're out of here. We'll see you next week for, I was going to make a 1313 joke. We have 1,001 episodes to get to there. We'll see you next week for episode 313.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye-bye.